You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
My brother, do not many masters, nor shall receive the share of condemnation. For in many things we have thanked Paul, if any man offend not in word, the saint is a perfect man, who is able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put this in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which thou they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small hand, whatsoever the governor is. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and a boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no mountain boast yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endure with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth.
Amen. Turn over to the book of Jonah. We're going to tie these two scriptures together here. Yes. All right. Now let's go back to James. The Bible said where there's envy and strife is also every evil work. It says, glory not and do what? Lie not against the truth. How you lie against the truth? When you receive the report, let's say, for instance, God said already in his word, by his stripes, you're what? But you go to the doctor and the doctor say, I see a tumor, you're sick and you're going to die. All right. Now that may be the fact. All right. But what is the truth? By I'm healed. So how do you change that fact? By faith and by a stripe, I'm healed. By speaking what you want and not what you have. So the Bible says, don't lie against the truth. Well, what is truth? We already said we got to make the word of God the foundation, the final authority. The word of God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the truth. By his stripes, we are healed. Well, I don't feel like I'm healed. Well, maybe you don't, but if you keep saying that you are, maybe you will. If you keep saying I'm sick, guess what? You're going to get what you say. If you're going to believe the report of the doctor who says you're sick and you're going to die, and you keep going around telling folks that you're sick and you're going to die, we might as well just plan your funeral. Because you're going to have whatsoever you say. He said, whatever you ask in faith, believing, you shall receive. That's, remember I told you about the measure of faith? Whether you make it negative or positive, that's up to you. Still, it's a measure of faith, and fear is faith in reverse, but it still operates and it will manifest based on your conviction of what you believe. And so you had to decide, like over in Isaiah, it says, whose report will you believe? So it says, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now over here in Jonah, it says, those, Jonah chapter 2, starting at verse 8, it says, those who observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now, what does it mean to observe? It does more than just to see. It means to give a place of authority, of observance to. We got days that we observe, holidays that we observe, whether it be Martin Luther King's birthday or whatever the case may be, we give observance to those days. We give that thing a special place. Those who observe lying vanities or things that come to lie against the truth will forsake their own mercy. Mercy is you being absolved from whatever it is that you're in. You go to jail for stealing, but the judge had mercy on you, you don't do no time. Should have did time, but now all that's gone because you had mercy. Well, the sickness come, but the mercy of God says by his stripes you're healed. And so for you receiving the fact that you healed, it would change the fact that you're sick. Facts are subject to change based on the truth that you deem to be real in your life. And so if you deem the doctor's word to be more, having more strength and more validity than what God's word says, then you'll have what the doctor says. And this is what you'll do. Well, I need to throw my medicine away and quit taking it. No, it's not. That's not what it means at all. It means you continue to confess God's word until you see what you say. You continue because you're warring against the information that's coming in your mind. You're warring against the feeling that you're having in your body. And one day you're going to get up and you're going to be, I is healed. I was healed. I's healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. You are the healed of the Lord. And not only healed, but also that comes with blessing. That comes from the peace of mind. Anything where the enemy comes to challenge you, if you can find a promise of God in the word of God, you hold on to that. You choose that faith over the fear of the other thing that the doctors told you that you're going to do, that you're going to die if you receive. Amen. Faith over fear. Habakkuk, which was just near, chapter 2, verse 4. He talks about the mind who is puffed up, lifted up based on his own knowledge, his own belief system. He said, behold his soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Behold his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. He think he knows more than God. He said, but the just shall live by his faith. See, everybody got faith, but your faith is yours. My faith is mine. The just shall live by his faith. God says this over and over again. He says again, actually 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We have a special way that we have to walk. You may not be able to determine what the next step may be, but you keep walking anyway. I remember this movie they had, remember that movie Golden Child with Eddie Murphy? Mm-hmm. And they had this great chasm that they had to pass. And that was part of the last test to try to get over it, but they couldn't see the way because it just looked like it was a big chasm. Now suddenly he threw a little gravel out there and I said, he saw it stay up on the platform. He was able to walk, but he had to see it first, but it was already there. Sometimes you have to take the next step. When you can't trace God, trust God. When you can't see your way, we walk by faith and not by sight. If God promised it, he'll also bring it to pass. When we walk by faith and not by sight, this phrase also means or often means that we rely on a belief or a trust in something greater than what we can see right in front of us. In other words, faith can guide us through uncertain times. Even when the path ahead is completely unclear, even when you just can't see how you're going to pay your bills, when you can't see how you're going to get this done, walk by faith and not by sight. Believing is seeing. That's where we trust God at. Romans 1:16, it says, in matter of fact, in verse 17, it says that the just shall live by faith. In the beginning of that verse, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? It is the message. It is the good news. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation is more than just, I ain't going to die and go to hell. Salvation is sozos. It provides safety, preservation, soundness. It also includes and incorporates the ministry of angels in your life. It gives you all of the benefits that God has given unto you. You know, the Bible says that God has given us already all things that pertain to life and godliness, and that he has already blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. If God has already given us all of these things, then the key to accessing those things must be our faith. Remember, I said Abraham had a right to every promise that God made because he believed God. But if he had not believed God, he would have access denied. And so when you're not certain of what's yours, anybody can take it. But if you know what's yours, you know you got a right to it. You know you'll move them out of the way to get what's yours. Galatians, you know, we've got, so this is the second time over in Galatians chapter 3. Also, he tells us that the just shall live by faith. 3:11. He says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. This is not a suggestion. This is your way as a believer, a recommended way for you to live. Hebrews 10:38. He said, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's what God is saying. God don't have pleasure in fear, doubt, and unbelief. You questioning and doubting God, not sure. Your soul draw back, your mind, your will, and your emotions. He said, if your soul draw, he said, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't even please God unless you're walking by faith. This is a faith walk that we have. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Walk by faith and not by sight. How dangerous is fear and unbelief? How dangerous is it? What you think? How dangerous is it? Could it cost you your very soul? Could it keep you out of the kingdom of God? Revelation 21:6. And he said unto me, it is mine. This is Jesus talking. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, how do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8. But the fearful and believing. Now he's giving a list here of those that won't inherit the kingdom of God, and at the top of the list is the fearful and the unbelieving. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderer and the whoremonger and the sorcerer and the idolater and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Cleanse your heart from doubt, fear, and unbelief. Don't let that be the thing that keep you out of the kingdom. How do we overcome? Like I said earlier. This is how we overcome, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Even in the midst of persecution, we must remain faithful even to the point of death. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king, listen, O king, we're not afraid to answer you concerning this matter. What do they want? They want him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow down to this image that they had erected in the plain of Durham, this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they told him at the sound of music, if y'all don't bend down and worship, we're going to cast you in the fiery furnace. They got a multitude of people out there bending down, and they see these three brothers standing. And then Persians and them look up. Said they ain't bending. Them other ones, let's go tell. Listen, Babylonians, let's go tell King they ain't bending. Said King, there's three people that you place over us, over the province, that won't yield and won't bend, won't bow down to your word. King said, really? Bring them over here. Said, listen, I'm gonna give y'all one more chance. I mean, maybe y'all didn't hear the music. I don't know what the deal was, but listen, when the sound of the music. Sackbuck, the harp, and all these things. You bow down and worship, you're good. But if you don't bow down, you got two things. Oh, you get delivered or you going to go in that fiery furnace. If you get delivered, God deliver you, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But what did they say? Listen, we are not afraid to answer you, O King. We're not careful concerning this matter. They bowled up now. They said, for the God that we serve is well able to deliver us from the fiery furnace out of your hand. And if he does not, we still ain't going to bow. Oh, King got mad. Heat the furnace up 7 times harder than what it's supposed to be. Tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Put all their clothes on, their winter coats, hats, everything. Tie them up and get the rock, get all of them green mile, get them big guys, and we're going to take them and cast them in the fiery furnace. The fire was so hot, they killed the ones who was trying to throw them in the fire. Mm-hmm. And they toss them up in there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're walking around, they're chilling. Mm-hmm. And King said, hold up, wait a minute. Hey, how many we throw up in there? I said, 3. I said, yeah. How come I say 4? And the 4th is like the Son of Man. Jesus walking around in the Son of God walking in the midst of the furnace with them. Shadrach and Meshach, only thing that burned on them was the ropes that were bounding them up. Why? Because they had faith in God. And they was willing to stand, be thou faithful unto death. And thou shalt receive a crown of life. They didn't give up. They didn't yield. They didn't cave in. They didn't quit. They wasn't intimidated. They said, we ain't careful to answer you, O King. In other words, in, you know, ghetto vernacular, we ain't scared. You know, we standing our ground on this thing. You know, we ain't no chumps. And so when you're willing to stand in the face of opposition, even to the point of death, God would be there in the midst with you. He'll be your fourth man in the fire. Yeah, I trust in God. Amen. Amen. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Revelation 2:10 says, fear none of these things that thou shalt suffer, because you're going to suffer some things. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. You may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. 5 different crowns. See, we're small over in America, but we got Christian brothers and sisters over in Rwanda that are dying every day, being murdered for their faith. In an Islamic Muslim situation, they refuse to give up, cave in, or quit. Because they know if the most that you could do is just knock me out of this dirt suit, they ain't worried about it. The Bible says, fear not those who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear God. See, death is not the end of for a believer, this cessation of life in the physical body. That's only a transfer switch. When that's when you hit the transfer switch, you're going to transfer from life to life eternal as a believer. But if you're not a believer, you're going to lift up your eyes in hell, be in torment in a flame. But you're going somewhere when you die. You're going to be transferred. See, God messed us up when he created us in his image and in his likeness. You're like God. You will always continue to exist. The question is, where will you spend your existence? Where will you spend your eternity? The Bible said that the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. That's 2 evers. Two evers. I mean, one forever is long enough. You get eternal life. That's why I ask people, how long is eternal life? They say forever. Well, how long is eternal damnation? They be like, I said twice as long. Forever and ever. And it's not something you get used to. Yeah, man, I've been down here for a couple thousand years, bro. You know, I'm cool now. No, you never get used to it. The Bible said, where the fiery flame is never quenched, and where the worm never die. Worms popping out of your eyes and coming out of your mouth and coming through your skin and eating you up, and you having a body that never die, never can be destroyed, but always in agony and torment, always remembering how you made the choice not to accept Christ, always full of regret and unforgiveness in your heart, and running around saying, if I had a just did that. But it's too late. Ain't no second chances once you go there. Only in this life you have the chance to make the right choice. Choose this day who you'll serve. You ain't gonna have time next week. Let's look at the testimonies of some of those who lived and moved by faith. Hebrews 11:1. It told us, we talked about faith as being substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the building blocks or the material for the things we desire to see from God. Hope is the blueprint, is the inner image. It is the thing that we see on the inside that have not yet manifested. It comes from a deeply rooted conviction and an imagination of the heart. We have to have a deep rooted conviction and an imagination from the heart. Let's go over to Hebrews and look at some of the champions of faith, how that they refuse to give up, cave in, and quit under persecution. It's called the Hall of Faith. A lot of times people will call it the Hall of Faith. So start at verse 32. Matter of fact, we can go in before that even. It says, Hebrews 11:5, start at verse 5. Like you say, 4 is good too. By faith, Abel, we talked about this earlier, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it, being dead, yet speak. And like I said, I think that was a pretty little neat analogy God was walking on in my mind this morning, thinking about Cain and Abel, and the sacrifice that Abel made that was accepted by God, and the fact that Cain slew his brother Abel. You know, I thought it was a good little analogy of what God doing down through the years. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How do you please God? Hebrews 11:1 says that, without faith is what? Impossible to please God. So Enoch had to have faith. 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith Noah was warned of God of the things seen, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear in preparing an ark to the saving of his house. Now, God told him something that he didn't see. But because God told him, he began to build an ark. All he had was the information from God, but the information turned to revelation. He saw something that caused him to move in faith in a situation to where there had never been rain on the earth before. Never rained. It only got the dew that came up and watered the ground. He go around preaching 100 years to me, it's going to rain. Every time, rain? What's rain, fool? Why you building a boat in the middle of the forest? What's rain? They ain't know about the oceans and the seas, but they know about no rain. God calls it to rain after 120 years. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place into which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. See, faith will cause you to move without the evidence. You don't need the evidence to move. It's when God places it in your spirit. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger in a company dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of with whom the same promise. For he looked for a city who had foundations whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so you have to understand that faith worketh by love. And when we love God, we trust God. We can believe the word of God. But without faith, it's impossible to believe God. Now, we're only a portion through this series. We'll get through the rest of it next week. Amen. So let's, once again, what is faith? Faith is the building block or the material for the things that we desire to see from God. Hope is the blueprint. It is the inner image, the things that we see on the inside that have not manifested yet. It comes from a deep-rooted conviction and an imagination of the heart, the things that we see. It is a defiant kind of faith that would not allow any negative situation or words to allow unbelief to come into our life will cancel out our faith. It will overcome our faith. Genesis 11 and 6, and God said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they began to do. Now nothing shall be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Where's your imagination? What do you see yourself doing? I asked this last week. What do you see yourself becoming? What is it that you are imagining to do? Can you describe your new home? Can you describe the business that you want? Can you see? I can show you my house. I can talk right now and show you my house that I want. I can tell you about my church that I want. I already been in the parking lot in it, walked around in it years. It's empty. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm just, you know, my prayer went from Lord, give me the property, to Lord, give me the title deed with my name signed on the title deed. You know, I received the title deed. You know, it's already mine. See, my name's going to be on that. Paid in full. Cash. No debt. The remodeling of it, the beautification of it, the presence of God in it, the ministry that's going forth. All that I sit there and imagine already. I already see we have what we call Faith Clinic. Faith Clinic is already going to be up and running. I see a conference room. It's called the Harold and Barbara Arrington Conference Center. We're going to put that up. So we're going to honor them. It's going to be one of the wings in the building. We're going to have different classrooms, different activities. We're also going to have an entrepreneur group to where we're going to be getting people to get thinking about business ideas, how to formulate those businesses, getting all the paperwork that's necessary to help get those businesses going. Because God said, above all, I would that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your what? Soul prospers. So we get a prosperous mind. Amen? All right, come on, let's give God a praise. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all that you allowed us to see today. I pray, oh God, that this word is taking root, that, Lord, it will cause each and every one to reposition themselves, oh God, in the spirit. That, Lord, we can have those things that you've already offered us, oh God. And, Lord, we'll receive it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Hello, I'm Charles Stanley. God is amazing in so many ways. One that still leaves me in awe is the fact he's always available to us. When you listen to In Touch, I pray you're encouraged to spend quality time alone with God. We'll study his word for ways to help you enjoy a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always in touch when we walk close to God and understand his will for our lives.
In Touch, heard daily at 8:05 a.m. and p.m. right here on WCNO.